Thank you. Now let's hear our morning scripture.
Our scripture this morning is from Matthew 2, 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star as it's rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Thank you, Marlene. Epiphany is a word that means revelation, unveiling, insight, seeing what you haven't seen before. As we stand at the beginning of a new year, 2022, we have to wonder, what will we see this year that we have not seen before? What will be revealed? What insights might we have? What unveilings? There's plenty of reasons for uncertainty, maybe even anxiety or fear, because we know for sure that the news of this week will be exactly what I heard on the radio at 9 a.m. this morning. News about COVID, about Omicron, and commentary about the one-year anniversary of the siege of our Capitol building last January 6th. How ironic that that happened on the actual day of Epiphany. So it brought me to think, what news, what good news, what hopeful news does this Epiphany story, the last chapter of the Christmas story, offer to us as we face all the uncertainties and unknowns of this coming year? Those magi, those wise men from the east, were probably Zoroastrian priests from Persia, modern-day Iran, men who studied the stars and horoscopes and who read and knew the sacred text of Israel and Babylon and Egypt, as well as of their own culture. So they knew the prophecies of Israel, of a Messiah, a new king who was going to come. And then they saw this star rising in the east, which they believed was a sign foretelling his birth. And they set out on this long journey to find the newborn Messiah and worship him. I think the gospel writer in Matthew, his points are pretty clear that he's trying to make. He wants to be sure that his readers know from the beginning that Jesus was for all people, not just for the Jews. That this Messiah was born to save all the nations, all cultures. And that at his birth, wise men from other lands came to worship him, while the ruler of Israel, the false king Herod, tried to have him killed. This is a story full of powerful, evocative symbols, metaphors. Every time I read it or hear it, I feel it again. There's the journey, the vision quest, the following of a vision in hope of salvation. There's the light of the star, light that summons, light that reveals, light that guides and calls us forth into unknown territory, seeking the deepest longings of our hearts. Light that leads us through darkness and uncertainty, and sometimes there's only the memory of light when the clouds are heavy and the darkness is at its worst. But hope and faith keep calling us on to keep following, to keep seeking, to keep believing, trusting that what we saw is true, no matter what the world may seem to say. Those magi dared to journey on, following the vision they had had of the star, daring to trust in the hope they felt in their hearts. But for all their mystical vision and wisdom, they still went looking in the wrong place. How often are we like that? We look for God's work in the places we think God should work, and we expect God to do things in the ways we think make sense. Surely, they thought, a new king would be found in the palace in Jerusalem. They never imagined a humble peasant's home in the little village of Bethlehem. But God's ways are never our ways. And God again and again chooses the small, the simple, the poor in spirit, the meek in heart to do God's great work. And so the wise men realize they're in the wrong place. They're in Herod's palace, unfortunately, tipping him off when they're supposed to be going to Bethlehem. This final chapter of the Christmas story, unlike Luke's gospel, is not all full of angels and hallelujahs and rejoicing. There is Herod. In human history, there are always Herods. Because when Herod heard these men were looking for the child, Matthew writes, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. Beware what can happen when powerful people are frightened. We know more about that than we did a couple years ago. When they fear that something new might be happening, that the status quo might be shifting and their position might be threatened, when they're terrified they might lose their power and privilege, then they're always scheming, plotting to hold on to power by any means necessary. Even if that means killing all the young boys of Bethlehem, just to be sure. This story shows us from the beginning, Jesus was a challenge to the powers of this world. That baby born in Bethlehem was and still is a threat to all powers of domination and control, to Herod and his paranoid evil plans, to Rome and its false peace based on oppression, to all the forces throughout time that seek to grind down, to silence, to destroy, to mislead. Jesus the Christ, who came to us as that boy in Bethlehem, is the answer to all the evil powers of the world. He did not come in power. He came in vulnerability and openness. He did not come with wealth or status. He came in the poor. He came as one of the least of these. And in this baby, this child, true love is revealed. Here is our hope. Here is the love that no power of evil can ever destroy. Here is the one who's come to change the world. Change that begins with us. Steve Garnes Holmes, his blog Unfolding Light that I've found very meaningful the last year or so, offered this insight this week on this story I wanted to share with you. He writes, "Beware the faith that judges the world but leaves your own sin intact. For God, who loves us as we are, does not intend to leave us that way. Pray for the courage to love a God who comes to remake you. Let the Herod who sits on your own throne be frightened and see in fear his own weakness. Let your privilege be troubled. For God, who transforms everything, begins with you. Be prepared to let go of the world you know and love, so you may receive the world you have not yet imagined. The wise men left the palace of Herod behind and went toward Bethlehem, and the star appeared to them again. Their vision of months long ago, that star appeared again over the place where they were to find the child. The light shone, showing them the way, and they were overwhelmed with joy. That's the nature of joy, isn't it? It surprises us, it overwhelms us, it breaks in and fills us, sometimes when we least expect it. Not when everything is perfect, but in the middle of our struggles and our sufferings, within the brokenness and pain of life, joy breaks in. Joy overwhelms. And when we see the light in the night, when we realize that we're part of a mystery so much bigger than ourselves, we are surprised by joy. And when we follow the light, then we, like the Magi, find ourselves in the presence of God, the presence of Christ. And all we can do is fall on our knees and worship and open our hearts to give the gifts that we have. So, my friends, I think the story tells us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the uncertainty and the unknown as we stand at the beginning of this year wondering what lies ahead. Of course, what's coming is uncertain. We never know what's coming next, and we cannot imagine all that the world is becoming. But what we know is that we are the people of the light. We are followers of the star. We walk in faith and hope, and the great love that we find in Bethlehem is always here for us, to lead us, to guide us all the way home. Frederick Buechner wrote that Bethlehem is not the end of our journey, but the beginning, not home, but the place through which we must pass if we are ever to reach our home at last. At Bethlehem, we find the God who chooses again and again to come to us, to be with us. At Bethlehem, God's heart is revealed, the face of God unveiled in the face of the child Jesus. And in response, we can open our hearts. We can give who we are. We can trust our lives, our futures, the futures of those we love most dearly, to the God who loves us and them more than we can ever imagine. No matter what the world may do, in the face of all the evil and brokenness, love is always with us. Love is always stronger than evil or death. The light is always here for us. We live in love. We live in light, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Amen.